Rados, you've amassed over 1.4 million followers on social media. What?
I know. It's been such a wonderful journey, and to have like a community that you can share your life with and your struggles with and, you know, just everything. It feels so lovely to have that reciprocation with so many people.
Mm-hmm. And your fans are absolutely diehard. Like, even the girls that come and follow me are all in my DMs. I genuinely don't know how you do it. Like, literally, they want to know everything about you. I get asked so many questions.
It's just so sweet to see how the world can be so loving. Like, if you try to give a little bit of it out, you end up really attracting that kind of energy too. So I feel really grateful for it.
Oh, and we're really grateful to you. So Rados, you launched Sama Tea with Jay. You're both co-founders. Mm-hmm. An amazing new project for you both. It's adaptogenic and also Ayurvedic as well. Explain to those at home who don't know just what that is.
Sure, yeah. Sama is, I literally call it our COVID baby, because we came up with Sama and created it and started it all during the beginning of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But adaptogenic basically means adaptogens. It's got adaptogens in it. And they are herbal extracts, plant extracts that allow your body to adapt to the stresses in life, whether it's physical, emotional, or mental. And different adaptogens do different things. And that's what we've really done with the teas. Try to, rather than make them flavor focused, we've made them function focused. And so whether it's focus and clarity, which is our mint tea, or relax and something like a relax and unwind, we've got like chamomile, but we've also got other adaptogens in there that can really help you to sleep, and spices too,
which we love. Eric and I were obviously lucky enough to join you for tea tasting, which was an amazing like afternoon of just tea and cookies and anything that literally Radi could rustle up in 24 hours.
And by the way, you guys were the best tasters. They gave the best feedback. Like, your feedback and Eric's feedback were the feedback that we actually took on board. Like, you guys were so good and in tune with tea. It was amazing.
Got you. So Sama followers, you're welcome.
Yeah.
So what did it mean to you to bring something that was aligned with your daily practices to market? What does that mean to you?
It meant so much because, you know, when we first started, there was two reasons we wanted to do it. One of them was to create, when we were thinking of what product we wanted to create, we were thinking, how can we take something into people's homes that's going to allow them to slow down, to bring a moment of presence to their day, but also how can we affect their health positively? And we realized tea was exactly that. It was something that was important to me and to Jay, but when we thought about what we wanted to give to people, it encapsulated all of it. You can't drink tea fast. You have to slow down. You know, when you're sipping on, it's also something which people already have in their life. Lots of people drink coffee and they drink tea. So it's not like adding in an app. It's not like adding in something additional into your life. It's like, hey, let's take a moment you already have, but let's make it more meaningful. Let's make it more purposeful.
It's really interesting you say that, because obviously we're Brits. You know, you grew up in like semi-rural North London. And so tea is kind of a part of our everyday lives.
It's part of everything.
Absolutely. And I feel like, you know, the emergence of herbal teas and natural teas has been very prevalent in the US. But has that always been a part of your routine back home?
You know,
is this something that came about since you've lived in LA?
Good question. It has been, since I can remember, after especially our dinner, but usually after every meal, my family, the first question someone will ask is, what tea do you want? And one person would stay in the kitchen, make all the teas for everyone. Everyone would be shouting from the living room, like their order.
Got you.
And it's been part of, and then we'd all sit together, talk, like unwind together at night. And it's been a part of my life for so long. I never really drank caffeinated drinks growing up, whether it was like soft drinks or teas. And so I always, you know, in London, especially because it's cold, you always want a hot cup of something. And so herbal teas, especially mint tea, is my favorite. That has been part of my life for such a long time. So it's definitely been part of my rituals.
Was there like a tea in your family that was the one? Because in my household, it was just like regular old English breakfast
PG
tea.
Tips.
Exactly.
Yeah, my dad, mum and dad definitely used to drink a good cup of like English tea. But for me, yeah, it was always the herbal ones, whether it was a digestive tea after eating or a peppermint tea to kind of give me a pick-me-up during the day. And, you know, since I started studying Ayurveda, now I see so much more benefit in it. Like, I understand the herbs and the spices that I'm drinking or eating. And so then I make my own teas in the morning. So yeah, I've got a great relationship with
it. So the practice of Ayurveda, is that something, you know, for those of you who don't know, Radi is married to the podcast king, self-help guru, former monk that is Jay Shetty, an amazing human being.
He is.
Has Ayurveda always been a part of your life, or is that something that was developed or exposed to you by, you know, your relationship with Jay. Where did that come from?
Yeah, good question. Actually, he got introduced to Ayurveda through me because, mm-hmm. well, it was kind leader. Of through him. I'll tell you what actually happened. It's kind of is him. Take it's always down. Him, isn't it? It's always because of him. When we moved to New York, I studied as a dietitian and nutritionist in London. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved to New York, I couldn't work. I couldn't do anything. And so I was looking for courses that I could do, something to take up my time. Mm-hmm. And I met this Ayurvedic chef who had a restaurant there. Mm-hmm. And she also ran courses. And I was like, look, I have nothing to do. Please, can I just follow you around? I'll do anything you want me to. And so I just learned so much through her and I fell in love with it. So I got to New York because of Jay, but then Ayurveda I found through just the community that I was part of. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I just fell in love with it. And for anybody who doesn't know what Ayurveda is, Ayur means life and Veda means knowledge. So it literally translates to like the science of life. It's one of the oldest, it is the oldest health science, holistic health science to exist. Mm-hmm. And it just uses plants and herbs and everything nature provides to heal your body in some way.
Mm, and boost well-being, right?
Exactly.
Now, talking of well-being, Jay has been really public mm-hmm. on social media. He is social media recently, but he's just been saying how grateful he is to have had your support mm-hmm. and acceptance of him at the various versions of Jay. Mm-hmm. Jay, you know, that grew up in London, the Jay that moved to New York with perhaps nothing in his pocket, and then the Jay who has amassed, you know, so much notoriety on social media. Mm-hmm. Now, we know his journey of self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. What about yours? You know, you mentioned New York, mm-hmm. And we've spoken about this on a personal level. There's being a time when you found yourself away from your family mm-hmm. for the first time ever.
Yeah.
How did you show up for yourself daily in such a foreign environment?
Yeah, good question. I felt like I started off extremely lost, where I was spending most of my day crying, mm-hmm. most of my day not knowing what I was doing. Literally, this sounds like such a sob story, but I was just wandering the streets of New York because I didn't have friends there. And mm-hmm. so I just wanted to go out and about and actually be around people. Jay would be at work, and so I didn't have people to hang around with. And so I just found myself for hours and hours just walking around mm-hmm. because I need to get out of our tiny apartment. And so it started off just kind of exploring and trying to run away from it. Honestly, that's what I was doing. I was trying to figure out a way to get away from myself.
Right.
And then eventually that got boring. And so I had to figure out what I wanted to do and how I was going to show up for me, how I was going to show myself that I can do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And that first step was understanding who I am, because I had no idea what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I had no idea who I was. I had no idea what I loved, because I was the baby of the family. Everybody was telling me what I should do, what I shouldn't do. I never really made decisions for myself. And so it took journaling. I did a yoga teacher training there. It took a lot of sitting with myself. I dated myself for a while and there was a whole lot of ugly, and there was a whole lot of things which I actually realized, oh, I do like this about myself, because I always saw myself as being mediocre at everything. I didn't mm-hmm. know what I had to offer in any way. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I needed to figure out, I can only show up for other people if I show up for myself. Mm. And for me, showing up means understanding who I am, because if I don't know that, then I can't show up as me, because I don't know who I'm showing up as. Mm-hmm. So it took a lot, but I am so grateful for that journey.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing, as you were talking there, I was like, so you've gone out to New York and you've had this experience of kind of finding yourself and dating yourself and really figuring out who you are. And then you guys have moved to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You've been catapulted into the land of Hollywood and, you know, a meteoric rise to popularity and fame. Mm-hmm. And so do you feel like that personal growth came at just the right time, or do you still feel like you're catching up? I imagine for a lot of women in your position, you know, being able to stand there at the forefront of, you know, the world of social media next to such a powerful and influential person now, there are these times of like deep insecurity. How have you experienced that? Is that something that you deal with?
That's a good question. I'll be honest, I never actually ever even dreamt of or wanted to be someone who was in the public. I like, you know, a lot of people dream of being like an actor or like a singer. I literally dreamt of being a doctor for a kid, for children. Like I wanted to work in a hospital, and I wanted to, and then I became a dietitian, and I was so content working in a hospital doing that. And so for me, that was never really ever my intention. And so when it came to me as a result of people just wanting to know who his wife was, that that also fueled my desire to figure out who I was, because I was like, I don't want to be, as much as I love being seen as his wife, I don't want to be, I don't want people to be coming to me just for that reason. Mm-hmm. And if they're coming to me for that reason, I want them to stay because of me. I want them to stay because I'm giving them something. Mm. And so I definitely went through a phase of trying, of insecurity of what do I have to offer, because I'm not going to be there just because you want to know a little bit more about him. Mm-hmm. I might give you that, but that's not the reason I want you to stay. And it took a while to like get used to the, I've always been, when I was younger especially, I was a big introvert, and so mm-hmm. for me he's a big extrovert. Like, he will say hello to people, he'll go out and about, if people come up to him, he's so excited and like happy to receive. Mm-hmm. And so for me it took a while to be okay with receiving that attention, because I didn't like walking into a room unless someone was in front of me. I didn't like walking to a room unless someone was next to me. I couldn't do it. Absolutely. And so it took a while to get into that. But I feel like I'm still growing into it, to be honest, because if you're not expecting it and you haven't for a long time, when it comes at you so fast, it takes a while to step into fully.
Mm, absolutely. But as a leader in your own right in conscious living, it never ceases to amaze me. And you said it yourself, like the amount of time and empathy, this shirt made me laugh, the amount of empathy that you have for people. Like, there's never a moment when you're not walking to the gym, on the phone, fixing somebody else's problems. Like, first of all, where does this come from in you? And second of all, how do I get some? Can you bottle
it? You have an incredible amount. Your energy, every time I even feel a little bit low, walking into that gym, you pick everybody up that comes in. So you definitely have that, no matter what you've
Stop
been through.
It. No, I'm not crying. You're crying.
But I genuinely mean that. But how did I get it? I honestly think it's come from the fact that I have received so much love in my life. And I feel so grateful. Like, growing up and having a loving mom, a loving dad, like even just that in itself, I realized how rare that can be.
Yes.
And how rare it is to have a partner that loves you, how rare it is to have friends that love you. I've met so many people, even since I've come to LA, that have told me that they don't have like friends that they can really turn to. And every single time I hear things like that, I think, wow, I have so much love coming into me. How can I not give that back? Like, it would be so ridiculous of me to not feel like I'm overflowing with love. And I think it genuinely comes from just, you have to feel grateful for the little things. Because if you don't feel grateful for the little things, like throughout your life, then even when the big things come, you're never going to feel it.
Yeah, they'll just miss you.
You'll constantly be looking for something else. And then like when you get that, then you'll be grateful.
Yeah.
And so I think it's been, you know, my grandma, my mom, my dad, they've all been such humble people in my life. And I've seen that through and through, no matter what they've been through. And so I feel like it's completely a testament to them and everybody who's just shared love with me in so many different ways.
Now, Radhi, we've known each other for a good two and a half maybe three
feels
years
like forever.
Now I know. But like, you never, like, you are one of the people who at Slay always shows up for themselves. Like, you know, when we first started working together, you were already working out like 5 days a week, but you always show up. Like, you always show up, you know, with most of the time with a smile on your face, you know what I mean, but always ready to kind of give it your all. Where does that come from, that sense of showing up? Is that something that's always been there, or is it something that's come naturally or recently to you?
I wouldn't say something that's always been there. I've probably always run when it gets a little bit difficult, or when I haven't seen results, or, you know, there's always been a part of me that hasn't wanted to go through that resistance. And I'm genuinely not just saying this. I think it's really testament also to the people that you surround yourself with. And for me, like, having someone, I remember when I first came into the gym with you and I was like, oh, I want to change this about my body. And I remember this so distinctly. I kept telling you, I want to change this about my body. How do I get rid of this? And how do I get rid of this? And you said, that's part of you. Like, you can't get rid of it. That's this muscle and that's this. Like, why would you want to get rid of it? And when I remember you just making me feel so confident about what I already am, rather than like being like, hey, this is your goal. Like, we're going to get rid of this to, like, by 6 months time, this is what's going to happen. And I think the way that you are really supported me in wanting to show up. Like, we've been training how long for together? And you are, every single time I see you, you're just as enthusiastic, you are just as encouraging. And so, one, I think it's the people you surround yourself with, and two, it's you have to understand the depth of why you are doing something, the intention behind doing it. Because if you don't, then it's going to always be hard to stick to. Mm-hmm. But if you keep reminding yourself, like, okay, it's not necessarily even the result that you're looking for. It's like, why am I doing this internally? Like, what is it bringing for me that's even more so than the externals?
Yeah.
And yeah, those are probably the two main things.
I think one of the things when we first met, which I think has probably been your greatest transformation, has been the mindset shift of aesthetics to athletics. And so we've kind of absolutely
say that one more time.
Aesthetics to athletics. So I think, you know, admittedly we were kind of guilty when you first walked in of thinking about the body and the way it looked. And, you know, together for you, we've kind of unearthed this like insane capacity,
beast mode,
absolutely, for strength. Like, for those people that don't know at home, like, Radhi is insanely strong. And I think when we first started working out together, I kind of recognized you were used to you know, you were a person who was used to doing just performing and just going for it, and you would literally let loose. Like, you would do whatever I asked. 30 burpees. Okay, I'm doing it. And so one of the things I think that we focused on the most was just getting you to hone in and focus on doing things well and really with quality, and then slowly just increasing the load. But my point is, you have an insane level of strength and also a mad level of endurance as well, which I'm not surprised about whatsoever. I kind of knew in my mind this overall plan for you. I was like, yeah, we're getting you in the squat rack. You're going to be squatting over 100 pounds. But at the whole of your time at Slay, has there been like an Olympic moment where you really surprised yourself and you were like, wow, I never thought ever that I'd be able to do that?
Everything from the squatting with weights to doing push-ups.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do push-ups when I came into the Slay gym.
Mm-hmm.
To now doing like push-up rotations, like doing it all. Yeah, you're right. I never saw myself as wanting strength. I always saw strength as being a masculine thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be strong. I want to be really skinny, and I want to be like, that's it. Like, that's what I had thought of, because mm-hmm. that's what I felt like I was surrounded by.
Mm.
And coming into Slay, I feel like I was like, hey, I would go home and be like, I just bench pressed blah, blah, blah. I just bench pressed this much. And so I think it's just understanding consistency. Like, you've taught me that it's so much more about consistency rather than saying, oh, I did one rep of this and wow, like, I'm amazing now. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, look at the strength that you've built up, where every part of your body feels solid mm-hmm. and every part of your body feels stronger.
Mm.
So everything from the squats to the bench presses to the rotations to all of it, I'd say it feels like something I never thought I'd be able to do.
Yeah, I honestly, as one athlete to another, Radhi, I have to say, like, honestly, as you were working out this morning, and I didn't say it at the time, but I was like, you should do your own fitness DVD. Like, honestly, as I was watching, I was like, you're now in that place where you are in a position where you can actually kind of guide other people. Like, if you wanted to tell somebody how to squat and so on and so forth, I imagine you could walk into a fitness class already and basically teach people.
Basically, you just need to be you need to like teach so many people to live like, to train like Slay, because it's true. Like, the form is, you've taught me form. Like, you've taught me how important it is and how you can do everything terribly and it makes absolutely no difference. Mm-hmm. So I agree.
Oh.
I agree, but it's all testament to you. So.
So the other thing that I wanted to touch on, because this is, to me, like a beautiful, beautiful journey. You recently started boxing training. And this has been, and I, you know, grew up in a boxing gym as well. And so I know just what a great freaking workout and how empowering boxing makes you feel.
Yeah.
But also for me, like, you know, meeting you and meeting the person, you know, that I met years ago, for you to step into your power and show up for yourself that way, I was just so, so proud of you, just throwing jabs and stuff like that and really kind of owning that space. What would you say that you have benefited from in terms of your boxing training?
Yeah, so, so much. Firstly, the one thing I realized the most is how you can slow your mind. Like, at first you think it's a practice of like aggression mm-hmm. and anger and just getting frustration out. And then I realized it's such a meditation. Like you get to slow your mind while you're physically so fast.
Mm.
And that in itself, like starting my day with that really allows me to focus because mm-hmm. it's not even just it's the coordination. It's the, memory. Like, I can remember so many different combinations. So I think it's a big mix of mental, physical, and spiritual as well. Like, it really does become a meditation when you're doing it, if you're doing it right.
So, you know, we talked about like mental health. Mm. What are the tools that you use on a daily basis when things are tough and when there are struggles? Because I know that my tool is a sledgehammer, but you seem to go through life with way more grace. Like, what are the tools that you pull upon when the days are hard?
I'd say breath work, my breath, and you know, my breath during my workouts. Mm-hmm. Breath has taken me through emotions, through anxiety, through workouts. It's taken me through everything. And I think that's the one thing from my yoga teacher training that I've really carried with me is your breath controls everything. Mm. Your breath can control everything. So if you control your breath, you can control everything in your body and in your mind. And so definitely breath work has been a huge tool for me. And then meditation, whatever meditation you do, I think taking that time out for yourself. I do it in the morning, like even before the sun has risen, and it really brings me back. It aligns me. It allows me to have a moment where I'm connecting back to myself, my own body, my own mind. And to spirit as well, like that connection to God every single morning has been such a beautiful thing for me. Mm. And what other ritual? Drinking tea. Mm-hmm. Those three.
Now, as a plant-based chef, we can't sit here in this podcast without talking about food.
Yeah,
Radhi is a huge fan of desserts, for those people who didn't know. She's always trying to drag me off to the donut shop. So one of the questions is, how do you like balance your calories and your food and your nutrition?
First and foremost, I feel like I start off with, am I getting good fresh food? Like, am I getting the nourishment that I need? And then after that, it's just a balance of like getting the right colors. Like, you know, there's a reason that there are different colored vegetables in the world. Like, making sure that you've got good variety in your diet is so important. And then honestly, I started doing a sugar detox recently, which I told you about. It's been like 20 days. I've only had like, it has been 20 days, and I actually have stayed away from sugar minus one day where I tried a bit of ice cream and I was like, it really shows when you take something away out of your body, how accustomed you've become to it, to a toxic level. And, you know, I think sugar is something that a lot of people struggle with. I think it's in everything, and you kind of mildly get addicted to it.
Absolutely.
So easily.
So addictive.
And so I really recommend people do that, because it also curbed my cravings and my desire to constantly satiate my hunger. Like, I was constantly wanting to pick, and that was because my blood sugar levels were so high all the time, because I was constantly eating sugar. And so, I'm still working on the calorie balance thing, but right now I feel like I'm in a good place.
So for those who are listening, if you wanted to give them a piece of advice as to how they can better show up for themselves, what would it be?
It would be, number one, to date yourself. Figure out exactly why you want to show up for yourself and who you're showing up for, because if you don't know who you are, you're not going to be able to show up for you. And two, it would be like, be kind to yourself. Like, really speak to yourself with love and care, just as you would with your child or with your partner. If you are struggling to show up for yourself right now, take it like a small step at a time. You don't have to be 100 straight away. So I would just say, be empathetic to yourself. You do it with everybody else, do it with you too.
That's beautiful, Radha. Thank you. We're going to wrap up with some quick fire questions.
All right,
I'm ready.
I
hope you're ready for this. I'm ready. This is my favorite part of the Slay podcast.
Oh my gosh.
This is where we just have some fun.
Let's go.
Okay. First up, favorite Jay-Z, J-Lo, or J Balvin?
Ooh, J Balvin.
Boom. Favorite vegan protein blend?
Oh, veg protein.
Nice. Sum up your relationship with fitness in one word.
Beast mode. Beast hyphen mode.
Sum up your relationship with food in one word.
Oh, healthy.
Nice.
Healthy.
Nice. Kill one. Zucchini or carrot?
Carrot.
Nice. I love carrot.
I like carrot, but I'm a zucchini woman.
Carrot juice, carrot cake.
But like zucchini bread, zucchini noodles. Listen, I have to do low carb. You're telling me I can't have zucchini? It's the only low carb option I've got.
Fair enough, babes. Last meal you ate.
Zucchini noodles with a sauce. Yeah.
Standard. For breakfast.
For breakfast.
I'm only joking. Name a spice you couldn't live without.
Oh, gosh, there are so many. Cumin.
Nice. Interesting. What should we all be doing to show up for ourselves daily? One thing.
To show up for yourself daily. What should you be doing? Different to what I've already said?
Absolutely.
Okay. Tell yourself you love yourself in the mirror at least once a day.
Oh, lovely. Radhi, you've been amazing. Thanks. As always, you slay, slay, slay. I just want to say that I am so thankful that we met.
Me too.
I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity to witness your physical growth, personal growth, and emotional growth.
Me too.
May it continue, and I look forward to the future.
Thanks, love you.
Love you, Radhi.
Slay sisters. Oh. This was amazing. Good job.